tonight we want to look at the prayer of King David. A prayer of gratitude. A prayer of gratitude. And let me begin by saying this. Man can never pray according to God's will unless he has a revelation. Or in other words, may I say, great men and women of God whose prayers are recorded in the Word of God here we have in the Bible. Prayers we hope should be our prayers. They were a result of a revelation they received from God about himself. And that what really made them pray the way they pray. We have seen in the prayers of Hannah in the Bible was a prayer of trust in a God who can hear prayer of a desolate person. And tonight, anyone who will pray righteous prayer or hope to pray a prayer that can be modeled will need to have known God, to have a true revelation of the character of God, of the God we worship, of the God we pray to. And the King of Israel prayer, King David prayer, was a result of a moving revelation he received himself. A prayer, a revelation that was amazing to him and moved him to pray this prayer, what God has revealed about himself. And we see this in the last verse of the first section of chapter 7, verse 17. After he was trying to build a house for God, and God spoke to the prophet Nathan and revealed to him and told him what he was going to tell David. And when this was told David, he said, the Bible says here, the verse 17, Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. And when these words were revealed to David, what God has said about David himself, what God, and that revelation was what God did for David, even when he was not aware of what God was doing for him. And what he is doing now for him. And what he will do for him in the future and even after he will depart from this world. Past, present, and future was brought before David. What a security. What a security. When your God speaks to you in this way, to give you this amount of revelation that all of us today need to have so that we will pray. We will pray truly from our hearts. Prayer that can bring results. I think I told someone, I don't know who I told, I said, well, look, if there is anything that I love about being a Christian, it's prayer. I say I grew as a Christian through prayers. And to tell you truly, the 23 years I've spent in Australia, if there is anything that the enemy has opposed me with, is opposing me leading prayer. How many times I stood here in this church and I said, if anyone would want to come with me and pray, let them come. And none ever came. We have a church, wonderful church. We spend a lot of money preparing to be a house of prayer for all nations. It's locked 24/7 most of the days. No prayer meetings. So we can know God through prayers. And so I've seen this. There are a lot of prayer meetings going around, but I see little revelation of God himself in those prayers. It's a prayer that is not based on the knowledge of God himself. Because when you pray, like King David, we have known his God this way. And that is why when I read Psalm 37, which would seem to be like a random choice, but it was not random. The Holy Spirit was in that. Because David would declare that once I was young and now I am old, I have not seen a righteous forsaken by God. It's a prayer of a man who has come to know God. And the knowledge of God is very important when we pray. Because when we pray from a position of humility. And this is how he prayed, this man. Who am I, O sovereign Lord? Who am I? Who am I? I don't deserve to be treated like this. Because if we can just reflect back and see what was revealed to David, because after we know this, and his prayers will make sense to us. But if you just take his prayers, they will not make sense to you because they are based on this revelation. When he tried to build a house, and then this is what the Lord God revealed to him. Verse 8, chapter 7. Now then, tell my servant David, even God saying, calling him my servant. You are my servant. You are a servant of God. That was what David was, or who he was. My servant David. And for David to say, who am I to be called the servant of the Most High God? Even today, we call ourselves ministers or servant of God. Do we really mean it? Do we really mean it to be a servant of God? Truly servant of God. What does it mean to be a servant of God? You are serving his cause, his purposes. And so when purposes crosses, so you choose God's purposes, isn't it? So this is how you will be called a servant of God. As I was practicing in my house today, I was saying, I was saying to myself, we are servant of God in the first place before we become servant of his own people. We are God's servant in the first place before we are his people's servants. Because we can serve him with our sins, or we can serve him with our hearts, submitting ourselves to him. Who am I? This is what he said. Tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. Just imagine, these are God's treasured people, as we heard in one of our services. Treasured people. For you to be raised up, to be their leader, to lead them in the path of righteousness. For David, this is a position of honor, being raised up from just being with animals to be with souls that are precious to God. Souls that praises him, souls that are worshiping him. I always tell people who serve God, it is not about you. It is about God's people. When you are raised up to be a servant of God, it is about God's people. It's not about you. You is finished. You finished. You have the sentence of death. You have the sentence of death. You have no rights. You have nothing. That is why Paul says, I become nothing after he was something, so that he can serve God's purposes. Because you have been enlisted in this ministry. That is not yours, that is God's. So it's finished. And actually people should not just really dwell on you more. So even as I stand here, I'm just pointing you to Christ, pointing you to God, who loves you so much, and I've called you my treasured possession. I can only count myself with you as a believer. But as I stand here, I'm nothing. I'm the servant of God. And that is what David is saying. I have raised you up for my own people. The very thing that I would want to do myself, I've raised you up to do. And I think it leaves no real room for us to boast, even when we do things. Because we need to be careful. When we feel that we are doing things for God, it's so annoying. When we feel as if we are doing something great and something that we should be praised for, or something that we should be given even rewards for. It's just not God's ways. This is not godliness. This is not godliness. The true godliness is that we have been raised, and this is just God's mercy, to be his servant, to be given what we are doing for God's glory. It's just something that should cause us to pray like King David. And no wonder why we don't pray like David. Who am I? Who am I, O servant Lord? Because he was told, even when you were not aware, I chose you. I have been with you wherever you have gone. Wherever you have gone. Wow. So if you've gone through fire and hell, he was with you. You've gone through persecutions, he was with you. You rise up to fight Goliath, he was with you. When you were running for your life from Saul, he was with you. When it was looking like just your life to be finished, he was with you. When it looks like even sin was like overcoming you, he was still with you. And this false, what I call false notion of holiness, is when you think you have done it all, you have kept yourself. It's God who has been with you. And I have cut off all your enemies from before you. When you just, how many battles David, King David, have entered? And God defeated all his enemies. Now, that was in the past, isn't it? As I said, past, present, and the future. Now, I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. Not just great men on earth, the greatest. I will make your name great. Great in what ways? If we see the great men that are spoken of in the Bible, they were not great because just they were great in themselves, because of the great presence of God in their lives. And actually, they were demonstrating that power and glory. And people feared them. Just think of Elijah and Elisha. They were men of God. They were great men of God, because God was with them. And David and the Lord God Almighty was saying, telling David, like, look, you will be great like these men. This is what I will be doing here now. And I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. You know those times, they were just, the nations were raiding each other, isn't it? During that time. And God chose Jerusalem to be the capital of his own people, to give them a territory where he will protect them, so that he can demonstrate his character in their midst, so that he can display his glory, because he has chosen these people to be a blessing to the whole nations of the earth, isn't it? Because from this nation, Christ will come and the salvation will come. And this is what the Lord said. He said, I will just build my people. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When he was trying, that was what Michael Jensen preached last week. It's God who builds. It's a secure place for his own people. And King David now is just praying, who am I? Who am I, O sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? You have brought me this far. That is a revelation. I was just with animals. And you have protected me and saved my life. And you brought me to be the king. And now even you have established my kingdom. Even you have spoken good of myself, that you will establish me. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you when your days are over and you rest with your fathers, even after his death. I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body. And from your own body, as a way of honoring you, you are my servant. And through you, I will have also a king that will stay here. I have given you this kingship. My love will never be taken away from your offspring, as I took it away from Saul as a sign of curse and rejection. See? And now this has been declared to him, because it's a fearful thing also, that to know that even your offspring, who is supposed to follow the Lord God, will depart from him, and God will really come and deal with them powerfully, like he dealt with Saul and his family. But the Lord is saying, like, no, this thing is not going to happen with your family. What a relief, and what a grace, and what a blessing. This is King David is just praying, prayer of adoration and humility, a prayer of thanks and gratitude, saying, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future, not only the past, even the future of your servant, the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, or, O sovereign Lord? And I think we ask a lot of questions like this. Sometimes we think the blessing is in the wrong place, isn't it? The blessing is in the wrong place. That is how we think. But that is not how the Lord God thinks. He took this young boy, you remember, when they paraded his brothers, you see, from whom God was going to choose a king. And no, they were giant, and they were strong, and maybe they were wise people. Maybe highly educated, sophisticated. And yet the Lord said, no. There was another one there. And now he's saying, this is your usual way. Is this your usual way of dealing with man? O sovereign Lord, what a question. And I think how can we answer this question? Yes, this is his usual way. His usual way of doing what is not expected. And now what is required of us is to believe this. That the Lord God, this is his usual way, because David sees himself as someone who doesn't deserve all these things, isn't it? And that is why this is unusual. So there's no merits, nothing. If this is God's way, that is why all of us, we want to deserve the salvation, isn't it? Everything is in order and we are thinking right. See, doing everything right. God has his own ways. Who am I, O servant Lord? And until you get to this point, when you say, who am I? I don't deserve anything. I'm nothing. The Lord knows whom he is raising up for his own people. For God's heart is for his own people. And he will raise up those who will have a heart for God's people, for God's sake. Now he went on to say, what more can David say to you? What more can David say to you? There, who am I? What can I do more? For the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done these great things and made it known to your servant. You made it known to me. Who am I that you should reveal this? What shall I do? So I got this question, who and what and how? And now he moves to praise God. So the praise of confession of of the fact that you don't deserve anything. And now even if you try to find what to do to add to your salvation into this, nothing you can even add, you are left only with praises. And maybe prayer of supplication. And now this is what I say. Oh, sovereign Lord, there is no one like you. There is no one like this God. A God who will just give us blessing that we don't deserve. Will raise us up into a position that we don't deserve at all. Even to be saved today. A salvation that we take lightly. A salvation that took our Lord to the cross and took him to the grave. A salvation that cost him his life. There is no, O sovereign Lord, there is no one like you. And there is no God but you. As we have heard with our own ears, they heard these stories of God who brought his people out of Egypt. And also, now he started to think of the people of God. And what a people, because this is what we should boast. We should not boast for the fact that we are believers, but we boast that God has chosen us. Your people, Israel, the one nations on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself. You can take that as a single thing, yourself. To be redeemed among many thousands and thousands, we heard our brother today. Thank you for sharing that testimony. To be redeemed and to claim that you have this life of God and that you are not going to hell. And this morning, even Alex prayed prophetically, thanking God that some people have not seen this life. And I thought of this little girl, Sudanese, and even he doesn't know about that. But that was the Spirit of God revealing this to him, that many people have not seen it, have not seen this day. Exactly this is what David is saying. There were a lot of nations, but God chose people of Israel and said, I've chosen you, and through you, the many families of the earth will be blessed through you. And that is through Jesus Christ. Today we have access to the faith of Abraham through this. The one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself. For God to go out for you and to be sitting here tonight is something that should make your prayers really a praise of gratitude, a praise that touches God's hearts. A praise that should really ring in our hearts, and to make a name for himself. Because God was doing that to demonstrate that he is God, he is our creator, and he is behind what he has created. You have chosen Israel and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt. You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. This is a relationship with God. And these people, they have this wonderful relationship with God. And I have a relationship with God. You have redeemed me. You have brought me out from the kingdom of darkness, and you are fighting my battles. You are driving out my enemies. We don't have physical enemies today, even though some nations have. But here we have a lot of battles, and God is the one who is fighting our battles, helping us through our battles. What a people we are. You have established your people Israel as your very own. Are you God's own forever? Or you are just one like others who believe that a believer can lose his salvation. Great debate, isn't it? I remember this when I went to a conference. I was one of the leaders, but I was working that day. I said I will come after work. And they got there, and I was taking a late train to the site at Port Said in Egypt. And as I got there to the camp site, and there was this great debate about whether a believer can lose his salvation or not. It was just running through the place. But now David is declaring, these people have been redeemed once and for all, forever. Well, it is good that we learn from this, that we have this type of prayer, Who am I? You say that, and what more can you say apart from glorying in this God, glorifying his great name, that there is no one like him? And King David went on now to say, because now I'm a child of God, and this is where really we need to do a bit of work here. This is where we need to do a bit of work. And this work is like a now. Our prayers. Because we are called to continue to pray. And as I was thinking of this, I was thinking of, do we pray to God to bless us or not? Do we pray for blessings? Even I can testify to you that even I sometimes don't pray for God to bless me. But I think this is where we are going wrong. Because maybe we are assuming that we have been redeemed. Now God is our God forever. We have been redeemed. But God wants us to access all his blessings through prayers, through asking, through drawing closer to him, praying for healing, praying for doors to be opened, praying for salvation of souls. This is what he has called us to do. He said, don't take all these things for granted. You have a work to do. Work with me. Just ask, test me, if I will not open the windows of heavens. He wants us to do that. It's God who wants us to engage him. That is why Isaiah 62, and no wonder why he called me through Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. Maybe I'm silent. I must say this, because there are a lot of things that are going there that can discourage you. Just simply because the Lord God would always remind me of his word. He said, what is written? We shall not lose heart. Don't lose heart, isn't it? Don't lose heart. And don't lose heart is like don't fall behind. That is the meaning in Hebrews. So we need to pray now, Lord God, keep forever. We need to be a people who value God's blessings. Because what is seem to me now is like we don't even value God's blessings. We think we deserve them, isn't it? And they come and we don't value them. We don't fight for them. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. What is this? It's a person who has realized that the positions that he occupies here is the greatest position a human being can ever receive. Even for us today, to be God's people is something we should not lose sight of and pray day and night that we are kept in the will of God. This is our job. Oh Lord God, keep your promise. That is why I love this man, my mentor, the man who taught me faith in Egypt, Father Daniel, who was among this man. And he nearly got killed as a student of engineering in our suit. That was the center of the Islamic movement. That was the beginning. And today we were recounting Nicodemus Barnack, because he was in Egypt that time. And when President Sadat was killed in 1981, so he was in Cairo, and they were watching the occasion, and suddenly was his friend, and suddenly the TV just shut down. And his friend, he said, has a mind of CIA. I mean, like FBI. He said, there must be something. The thing can't just happen like that. Nicodemus witnessed that. And he said that he saw with his eyes how their security forces in Egypt came out in thousands, murdering anyone who is wearing clothes like a Muslim Brotherhood, because they were wearing shorts and beards and things like that. They were just killing, shooting on the streets. And my friend, by these very people, that was like early 70s, leading up to 81, everything was becoming very Islamic. And Nicodemus said that during the prayer time, they will shut down the whole university. You cannot go anywhere. And he was telling us as they were passing with his friend, a Dinka guy, and they called out, are you Muslim? And this man, he said a word that even I cannot say. He just really cursed them. to their face, and they were really amazed. And when he went, and they couldn't say anything in hundreds, he said, it's a rubbish religion to this fanatic. He said to them, something like that. I can't be a Muslim. And he got away with that. God protected him. And then when he went there, and his friend said, why did you say that? And he said, well, I can't, that is the truth. And he got protected. But my friend, Father Daniel, he got hit with a sword, nearly took his life. And after he finished university, he went to the monastery as a Coptic monk. And he served God with power. And people were traveling across Egypt to attend his weekly meeting. People would rent houses and hotels to stay there for a month so that they can attend four services. He would write a book and it's finished in few months or few weeks. He preaches these things that we are not entertain any kind of defeat of any kind as God's people. Let us hold fast to the promises of God, because this is where we find victory. Not in our own words, not about how we feel or about how we assess the world. The promises of God alone is what can save us. And now King David is saying, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house, because that is the best position a human being can be in, to be blessed by God. So that your name, and now even you say like the purpose clause here, so that your name will be great forever. And now even King David is saying, you blessing me is for your name's sake, because he realized as God blesses him, all the glory will go to God, not to him. Because they will see that God should take someone from behind the animals and made him a great king and gave him his spirit and write all these psalms that will be read until Christ return as a source of inspiration for us all. Delight in the Lord always, and he will give you the desires. The desires, always we say desire, isn't it? It's not desire. Desires, it's plural, of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord and trust him. Hold fast to his promises. This man, he knows, as we are blessed by God, the name of God will be glorified, because we will declare that there is no other God. Last week on Wednesday, on what day? On Monday, I went to Footscray, I should say, because I've discovered that it's becoming a mission field for me. Because traveling in the train, going there, I talked to people on the train. And last week, I went to this market, and it's sheep. And I discovered the groceries are very fresh too. So I got there. I started really to pick up things and so forth. And I was mindful of the time, because I planned to come and pick up my children. And after I gathered things in small bags, and so I couldn't get anything. And on my way, I put all this shopping on a table. And then suddenly I saw a young man, quite tall. And I asked him, are you from Saudi Arabia? To his amazement, he was born in Saudi Arabia. He grew up in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, but he was from Pakistan. And he said, that is very interesting. And we started to chat. And I think we chat for 48 minutes. If not 50 minutes. And my shopping was there. And then the girl on the counter was a Muslim girl. And she was watching our body language. There was something wonderful was going on there. And she didn't like that, because she was a Muslim too. And so the other workers came around, were asking, whose shopping is this? And so she wouldn't even say that was my shopping. And I was just about like a half of a meter from her with this man. So they put back again everything there. And after we finished with this man, I said, where's my shopping? And, said, oh. And I could see in her eyes. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm not angry. That is fine. And so I went again and I picked up some. I couldn't go even to do more shopping. And with this young man, I was sharing with him. And we shared. And he asked me about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the part that is very interesting to me is say, like, what is the work of the Holy Spirit here? And how is he God or something like that? Why is God in three persons? And I said, yes. And God gave me an inspiration to say that. Well, there is no way for us to know that Jesus is from God apart from the Holy Spirit. And also, we cannot know God if we are not touched by the Holy Spirit to convince us that this is the true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And it's the Holy Spirit that works in us to cause us to repent. And he asked me, he said, is it a feeling or just like objective truth? And I said, it's both. Even if we don't feel a thing, because God has said, and is referred to as he. And he put out his hand and he said, that is very good. That is very good. Very interesting. And I think finally he took my number and he said to me something like, oh, you are really good to your faith. It's good that you represent this faith. And now the King David is saying, when we have these blessings, we will glory in God, and God's name will be glorified. Then men will say, the Lord Almighty is God over Israel. And we have seen this in the young men in exile, isn't it? Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego. Daniel, when they boasted in their God, other men, they seen that it's God. Their God is the whole God, the only God. O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you, so your servant has found courage to offer you this prayer. And even when we are praying, we say, Lord, because you have asked me to pray this prayer, for your own sake, glorify your name, because that glorify God. Who am I? What more can we say? How great you are, O sovereign Lord, as a way of doxology, and to praise God. O sovereign Lord, you are God. Your words are trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Good things. These are good things. We are to pray for good things. And that is why I am a great fan of the fact that we are to be human. Let us not try to be clever and to say that, oh, like this prayer, I don't like this type of prayer. Say, if it is your will, do this. Of course, he will do only his will, isn't it? Just ask, what is your need? Jesus always asks, what is your need? You just pray your needs and let God be God. Let him decide, because when he decides later on, it's good for us. Whatever his decision is the best for us. For he's a good and gracious God. See what he did? He's doing these things, even we are not aware of this. Why would we want to be clever? We are not clever. Let us just value the good things of God. And let us pray for good things of God. Let us pray for healings. Let us pray for fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray for freedom in preaching. Let us pray for joy. Let us pray for excitement. Let us pray, if I can, just like today, to be controversial. Financial blessings, everything. Why would we want to just avoid what God has said should be ours? When we know with all of our heart that is not because we want to be great in ourselves, but so that his name might be glorified. Unless you have different agenda and another intention. Because with these resources I have, I can travel the whole world. That is why I travel all the way to Saudi Arabia. If I couldn't afford the airfare, how would I go and share with a Muslim there that Christ Jesus is the only way to God? If God is not blessings, how can I help people? He said, continue, do good. And how do we do good in our own days? By everything he has given us, isn't it? Every blessing. So we should pray more for blessing so that we can do more good. Yeah, let us have that attitude of wanting to thrive, of wanting to expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ. If we don't have that attitude, let us not boast that we are a small denomination. We have limited ourselves. It's not God. You see? It's not God. It's us. We don't pray for God's blessings. we don't humble ourselves and say, God, is you. Who am I? We don't do that. Maybe we think we are something. Maybe we don't go on praising the character of God. And tonight, let us join with Apostle Paul. He said, like in himself, like King David, he was nothing. It's God who has made us competent to be ministers of the gospel. It's not us. There's no any special qualification in me. It's God who has declared me this and has made me this. Even when I was not aware, in the womb of my mother, he set me apart for this very thing. And he got all the resources. He said, I will do something for you now. I will fight your battles. I will be with you. And I will fill you with the Holy Spirit. And I will fill you with faith. And even though you might be discouraged, no, I will encourage you. I will turn your mourning into rejoicing. I will turn your weakness into strength. I will turn your defeat into victories. That is how I bless my servant who is aiming to bring glory to my name, who prays for blessings, who prays, who values good things from God, because the good things from God will do good to others. Because every good and perfect gift comes from God. It's not us. It's not us. It's God who qualified us and made us competent. It's God who made us competent. The competence comes from God Almighty, the sovereign God. The competence to be ministers of new creation. And King David tonight is giving us this lesson, prayer of gratitude to God. Prayer of someone who has been redeemed once and for all, who has been made king over God's people. Let us pray.